Chapter 38.
Not so strong without your army, eh?
I called as I made my way through the gates and stood at the edge of the trench. Inside, the Hobgoblin King's army still thrashed and burned, and as I watched the flames burn through them, I couldn't help but feel pretty damn good about my plan. Across the field of dead and dying hobgoblins, I found myself staring at what remained of the army that had once stood against us, and realized that all that remained were the elite goblin knights, their scorpions, and what was waiting on the throne on the far side of the trench.
"I am quite strong," the voice from within the curtain throne spoke. And it was like ice and fury. It chilled me to my core and made goose flesh sprout on my arms. Instantly, the music that had been playing behind me died out. And as the sound faded and the battlefield descended into a silence only punctuated by the crackle of dying flames, a cold wind howled through the valley. It was the sort of wind that ripped through the night and threatened to take you all the way down to hell with it. The kind that ushered in frigid nights of freezing death and left famine in its wake. And yet, it felt familiar in a way I couldn't explain.
"I know you are not afraid, Master," Queenie said as she moved beside me and took my hand. "But I am. Though I know that you will win, I am scared."
She squeezed my hand.
"And that will make our victory all the sweeter. Who wanted to live forever anyway?"
Jane said as she moved to my other side and took my hand. Then we watched as the curtain was pulled aside and what stepped out had to have been hewn from my deepest, darkest nightmares. The hobgoblin's yellowed skin was covered in glistening, oozing pustules, and his eyes were nothing but red coals. Shadowy darkness seemed to cling to him as he stepped onto the earth. And as he did, the very grass beneath his feet seemed to die. His armor was unlike anything I'd ever seen before, either in game or out, and appeared to be woven together of icy metal. The chest plate itself was modeled after a leering, fanged skull. And his pauldrons were still two more skulls that spewed blue fire into the air. His knees and elbows were covered in still more spewing, silver skulls that sat emblazoned upon a black, icy metal that caused frosty mist to swirl around him. But worst of all, was the crown of jawbones he wore about his head, so that when he moved, it was like all of hell was laughing at you for your impertinence. And all of that said nothing of his size. He was huge, massively so. His muscles bulged almost obscenely, and with each and every movement, it was as though the world itself struggled to contain him. That's when he drew a pair of swords from the sheaths on his back. And I realized that he was holding what looked to be a 6-foot claymore in each hand. While both of them were similar, possessing a skull for a handguard and had large sapphires set into the pommel, it was the blades themselves that truly made me wish I didn't have to fight him. Both were black as night and seemed to absorb not just the light that fell upon them, but all of life, death, and everything. And when he clanged them together, lightning zipped up from the left blade while blue flame roared up the right one.
"So maybe you neglected to say just how badass he was," I said as I swallowed hard.
Even though we were several hundred feet apart, I could feel the Hobgoblin King's presence like a massive wet blanket had been thrown over me on a hot summer's day.
"I've never actually seen him before,"
Jane whispered from beside me.
"But even if I had, I don't think I could have done him justice."
"No, I suppose not," I agreed.
"You are lucky this day," the king said, his words like thunder crackling through the heavens. "For you will not have to face my wrath just yet."
His lips curled into a cruel smile that revealed his horrific fangs.
"Because my minions have not yet fallen."
Then, with a wave of his hand, a terrible scream ripped out from the bowels of the trench. And it was then that I saw the dead, burning hobgoblins begin to rise. Necromancer. The word was but a whisper on the wind as I saw them begin to claw their way out of the pit. Giant, hobgoblin, dire bear, all were rising. And once they were out, we would be screwed. Worse, even if somehow I had the energy to seal the pit, I knew they would claw their way through anything I could conjure. "We have to take them out before they rise," I said, as my eyes fell upon the Hobgoblin King. He stood there between his elite guards and waited, like he had all the time in the world. The thing was, he didn't. "Queenie," I said, without bothering to look at her. "Do it."
"Yes, master,"
she said, and twitched her antennae.
"I thought you were supposed to be tough,"
I called and took a step forward. And as I did, the Hobgoblin King just threw his head back and laughed.
"You're confident. I like that," he said, as his lips twisted into a cruel smile. "It will make it more satisfying when you beg to die. Only I will not let you die. Not truly."
He nodded toward the pit where the dead were starting to pull themselves free.
"Yours will be a life of perpetual servitude."
"Hard pass," I said, as my giant ants burst from the ground just behind the Hobgoblin King and ran at the bastard and his guards. The Hobgoblin King didn't even bother to turn. He merely gestured for his guards to act, and act they did. They spun on their scorpion mounts and rushed toward my ants. They met Todd and Kurt head on. And I cringed as they were hit so hard that they'd have just died if they didn't have my aura to draw upon. Even still, I knew they couldn't take too much more of that. Fortunately, they didn't have to.
"You expect this to do me in?"
the Hobgoblin King asked, as one barreled past one of the elite hobgoblins and sprang at the king.
"Pitiful."
It should have ended right there with the elites and their kings slaughtering my dozen or so ants. But there were two key words there. Should have. Because as one leapt for the king and the giant hobgoblin whirled to lash out at the ant with his swords at lightning speed, the explosive attached to the giant sentry ant exploded with all the force of 20 sticks of dynamite. Now, that may not have seemed like a lot. But about 8-ounce sticks of dynamite produce almost as much kinetic energy as a 40-ton truck moving 60 miles per hour. And one wasn't the only one who detonated with that force. All 12 ants exploded with at least that much black powder explosive strapped to them, and all were in close proximity to the guards and their king. Needless to say, those that weren't killed outright by the resulting explosion were flung backward like toothpicks in a hurricane. Still more died as they crashed into the pit full of spears and were impaled in a way that was both horrific and satisfying. Unfortunately, the undead were still coming, and that meant the king hadn't died. It didn't take me long to find him. The spears he had landed upon had snapped like kindling on his armor, and as he pulled himself to his feet, I wasted no time. I reached out my hand and used auric extraction once more.
Pattern. Elite Hobgoblin Knight has been learned. Would you like to create an Elite Hobgoblin Knight?
A second later, I'd brought three of them to life and sent them at the Hobgoblin King. There was just one problem. The king was so strong, and my aura was so low from the summoning that they had been sent right back to Auric Limbo three sword swings later. And the king looked no worse for the wear. "So maybe he's a bit tough," I said through gritted teeth as I used auric extraction to refill my aura once more. And though I gained more patterns from doing so, I realized my summons weren't going to be strong enough to take the bastard down.
"Would you like me to face him, Master?"
Queenie asked from beside me, and while I admired her moxie, I shook my head. "No," I said, as the Hobgoblin King strode through the burning trench, and though flames still seethed within, none seemed to touch him. "It will just be a waste of aura." I glanced at the undead. "Summon what you need and help Jane deal with him."
"As you wish, Master," Queenie said.
And a moment later, I saw more elite Hobgoblin knights rise around us and engage the undead.
"I'll dissolve those I can,"
Jane said as she sprang into action alongside Queenie. But I wasn't paying attention to that. Instead, I focused on the king as he came ever closer. He was a god of death, and he was angry and vengeful. He would have this town and all the others if I didn't stop him.
"Come," he said, and his words were like ice water being poured down my back. "Face me as a man."
"He isn't just a man," Morleone said from beside me. I realized I'd been so focused on the Hobgoblin King that I hadn't seen him come outside, nor had I noticed that he and Jay had brought along all the musicians, actors, and other assorted performers.
"No!"
Morleone struck his drum.
"He's the Destroyer King!"
And with that, he broke into song. I felt the power in the air swell and grow, and slowly the others soon joined him. As they lent their particular talents to the music, magic started to flow through the surrounding air. That's when I felt a hand on my shoulder, and as I turned toward it, I saw Jay standing there. He had a fierce grin on his face, and then, for the first time ever, he spoke.
"Give him hell!"
With that, he strummed his ukulele and sent one last desperate cry of power into the air. As he did, I grabbed hold of that magic. I let it flow into me, let it fill me up and grow until I couldn't see clearly, until I thought I would die, and I pushed beyond that. The sounds of the battle became distant as I pulled in every ounce I could. Then I gathered even more magic. The Hobgoblin King was almost to me now, and as I met his eyes, I could see the victory in his eyes. He had already won this battle, and the next. He had already taken this land and turned it into a floating ball of death, and somehow that sight gave me the will to pull in yet more magic. My veins burned like fire, and I could taste blood in my mouth, but I didn't care. I would end this here and now.
"Come,"
The Hobgoblin King cried as I launched myself into the pit and sprinted toward him. The big Hobgoblin steadied himself as a cruel smile settled across his face. And then, the moment I came within reach of his blades, he swung his two swords at me in a scissor-like cut, aimed at taking my head off my shoulders. Only, even for all his strength and speed, I had years upon years of fighting people both bigger and stronger than me. I'd beaten them all because of one thing. I had trained more than all of them. As I moved, I let my honed reflexes take over. I dropped into a slide on my knees as I arched myself backward just in time. The king's blades passed by my face, missing me by millimeters, and as they did, I planted one hand and lashed out with my foot. The blow caught him in the knee, though it felt like I'd kicked a statue. The move still had the desired effect, because the Hobgoblin King, already off balance from his attack, tottered forward just a hair as I came up. I shifted my hips, drawing power from my feet and forcing it through my entire body as my aura-infused fist smashed into the Hobgoblin King's chin in one enormous auric smash that released every last ounce of magic and aura I had in me. Tiger Uppercut! I cried, as all the magic I'd gathered exploded out of me with enough force to not only shatter his jaw, but turn his skull into paste.
You have killed a boss and completed the pathway quest. The return gate has now been opened. You may leave at any time.
I was still staring at the words when the Hobgoblin King's sword slipped from his hands and clattered to the ground beside his lifeless body. Then, as his body slumped to his knees and the undead around us collapsed back into unmoving corpses, I reached out with one hand and used auric extraction.
Pattern. Hobgoblin King has been learned. Would you like to create a Hobgoblin King? Please note, this is a special monster, and only one can be summoned at any given time. If you would like to summon more, you must defeat more.
Arise, I said, as I summoned the Hobgoblin King forth. This time, there was no foul wind as he rose to his feet out of the ether. Instead, he looked at me for one long, hard second before meeting my eyes.
It seems that I have been defeated, he said, his words careful and measured.
He looked at the carnage that had been wrought on his army before settling his gaze upon me once more. Then he bowed his head.
It would be an honor to serve one such as you.
His hands clenched and unclenched.
For you are the stronger of us.
Well, I'll be happy to have you on the Garrett train, I said, and extended my hand to him. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
He clasped my hand and shook it.
Know that I will serve you to my utmost.
That I believe, I said, as I looked around and found Morleone looking at me from high above at the lip of the trench.
You did it,
he called, and then before I could reply, added,
This means you have to try for the sword.
I suppose it does, I said with a nod. I suppose it does.